Lord, turn your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 14. Once you get it there, y'all stand with me, please. Also, if you got a cell phone, turn it off. Please. At least put it on vibrate. Revelation chapter 14, we're going to begin with verse 6. The Word of God declares, "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, to every nation and kindred, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. There followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations to drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Third angel followed him saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. They have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image. And whosoever receiveth the mark of his name, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Let's pray. Father, I love you and praise you. I'm thankful for this opportunity. This privilege and honor of being able to stand before your congregation. I just pray, Father, that you'd be with me this morning. Just help me to say those things you've laid upon my heart. Just help me to remember those things I've studied this week, Lord. Let me preach this morning with boldness and authority your truth. May your Holy Spirit just move amongst us and speak to hearts and deal with hearts, Lord, that are here today. And above all, if there's one that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, let this be that day that they trust you. You as Savior before it's eternally too late. Thank you for the songs. Thank you for specials. Thank you for each home represented here in this place. Father, may we worship you today, Spirit and truth, and may you be glorified. I love you and I praise you. And again, I thank you for this opportunity. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Please be seated. How many Book of Revelation people do we have in the congregation? I like the book. My Bible tells me I'm blessed for reading it. Now, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I am not the greatest authority when it comes to the Book of Revelation. And I've heard some men that say, well, I'm an authority on the book. And I kind of laugh and I kind of shake my head saying, you're silly for saying that. Because I don't care who you talk to. I don't care how many years in the ministry, how much studying you've done. You can pick up the book of Revelation and open it up and start studying it. And guess what? God will reveal something else. And it might not be or even go with what you thought. That's happened to me before. So I've wised up in the ministry when it comes to the book of Revelation. But there are some things that are so plain, you can't help but say, wow, that's good stuff. I think I'll preach on this. And that's what I'm doing. Chapter 14 is a great chapter. You see, the Lord is doing a little tribulation business in chapter 14. The first five verses deals with the 144,000 chosen sealed Jewish evangelists that go throughout the tribulation and proclaim the gospel. Now, They're sealed. God has given them a job to do. They perform that task after they've got the gospel out. And by the way, some people were saved. But sad to say, there's a lot more that didn't accept the message. But after the Lord's done with them, after they do what they're supposed to do, the Antichrist kills them. But what we have in the first five verses, it shows that guess where they're at? They're back in heaven with the Lord. But then when we come to verses 6 through 13, you see two types of people. You see those that are saved, those that are lost. Now, there's going to be saved people in the tribulation. They're going to be one to Christ during the tribulation. There's going to be a lot more lost people. And that's what I want to speak to you about. You see, I know we don't like to think about it this morning. We don't like to think about the end. But beloved, you and I have a responsibility to be prepared for the end because it's coming for all of us. It might not be today. It may not be tomorrow. But listen to me, the end is going to come for each one of us one day. And you and I have a responsibility to be prepared. And we need to make preparation. You know, I think it was Solomon that said, if a tree falls to the south or to the north, wherever that tree falls, that's where it's going to lie. And what that tells me is, whichever way we leave this walk of life, if we're saved, we know we're going to heaven. We die lost, I'm sorry, but you're going to hell. So there must be a time that we prepare. And I'm here to tell you this morning, you can only prepare now. You can't wait till you die. There are no second chances. I know that's contrary to what some teachings are that are out there. But listen to me. No, when you draw your last breath, when God says it's time and He cuts that golden thread of life, you're gone. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. So, what we have here, you know, it's good when you study your Bible so much you tear your Bible up, huh? Notice what it says. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven. And notice now, God sent 144,000 chosen Jewish evangelists throughout the world during the tribulation. And again, they covered the four corners of the earth sharing the gospel. And again, some folks responded and accepted Christ. Others didn't. Now, if you and me were the Lord, we had His mind, we'd have said, well, you can't say we didn't try. We're done. But now, to show you the mercy and the grace of God, He sends an angel that covers the world declaring the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you about this gospel. It is the same gospel that Paul preached. It's the same gospel that John preached. It's the same gospel that Peter preached. It is the same exact gospel. By the way, you say, well, preacher, what's the gospel? Well, Paul said it this way. He said, according to the scriptures, Christ died, was buried, and rose again on the third day, according to the scriptures. Paul said in Romans, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. Amen. The power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. So he's not talking about a different gospel. Angel is sharing the same gospel. That gospel is a message of forgiveness. It is a message of salvation. It is a message of grace. It is a message of power. It is a message of hope. It is the greatest message ever shared with a human being. Beloved, that angel flying all over during the tribulation, sharing that wonderful message. Some might say today, well, it's an outdated message, preacher. That's why people don't listen. It's old. It's true. That gospel is over 2,000 years old. It's older than creation itself. But you know what? Praise God, like you said, Sister Gladys, it still works. It still saves. Understand. The sad thing is, people turn a deaf ear. Don't want to hear it. And the sad thing is, their fate one day will be sealed. Done. Now let's get back to our message. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven with a final proclamation saying, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. How important is the gospel? So important that God gave His Son. But to get the gospel out, God used average men at first. I say average. They were men that didn't go to seminary. They were men that weren't learned. They come from all walks of life. But God called them, ordained them to share the gospel. And they went about the Lord's business sharing it. And I'm thankful for those that have been obedient to the commands of God, answering the call and being obedient to declaring the gospel, the glorious gospel, the true gospel. Amen? The true gospel. Now, angel goes out all over, every nation, every kindred, every tongue, every people. And by the way, the gospel's for all. It includes all of us. All of us! Doesn't matter where you come from, or how wealthy or poor, it's for all of God's creation. Notice what it says. Saying with a loud voice, fear God and give Him the glory. Beloved, why are you here this morning? Now, I fear God because, one, He's worthy of reverence. And I fear Him. And I want to reverence Him. And this is His day that He's made. We're to rejoice and be glad in it. And I fear Him. But notice it says, fear God. You know what's wrong with our country today? You know what's wrong with the world today? There is no reverence for God. There is no fear of God anymore. People think that, I don't even believe there's a God. Well, my Bible says that it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. My Bible also says that God is a consuming fire. If that don't wake you up, you can't be woken. Amen? You can't be woken. No, I'm going to fear God. And I'm going to do my best to glorify Him. Notice, give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come. Worship Him that made heaven, earth, and the sea, and the fountains of water. So, angel went with the gospel. And we know what the gospel is. His death, His burial, His resurrection. Understand, Jesus went to the cross for you and I. He died in our place. He took the wrath and judgment of God upon Himself so that you and I could be saved. But we're to fear God. And we're to glorify Him. How? What's the best way to show your fear of God, your reverence for God? What's the best way to show your glorifying God? The way you give your heart to Christ and then serve Him obediently and faithfully. So one last time, God sends an angel to declare the gospel. And beloved, I know a lot of people like to play Russian roulette, I guess. I never was fond of such a game. I don't think I would even consider that. Put a bullet in the chamber and spin it. Pull the trigger. I don't know many of us here that would be willing to do that. But do you understand there are people out in the world today that do that every single day? They're playing with a loaded gun, not just one bullet in the chamber. It's fully loaded. And they're thinking, oh, there's not a God. There's nothing to this salvation. There's nothing to this heaven or this hell. It's a figment of man's imagination. No, it's not. Even after the church is gone, we're out during the tribulation, those that are left behind, God still is willing to see people saved and come to Christ. Think about that. You know why I love Him? Look at, why shouldn't I love Him? Why shouldn't you love Him? Look at the love He has for us and His fallen creation. Now look at the next one. Here's another angel. Won't listen to men. Believe me, he's not going to listen to an angel. See, they didn't all of the world except the 144,000 chosen evangelists during that time. You read chapter 11 in Revelation, it talks about two witnesses that come. Let me tell you the shape of the world during the tribulation. You would think after God's pouring out His wrath that men would wise up, open their eyes, and repent. But there's two witnesses that God sends to proclaim the gospel. And do you know what happens? The Antichrist kills them. They lay in the street. And guess what? The world applauds. The world is happy that they're dead. But what happens after 3 days? They're called back home. But again, they applaud that they're dead because they have no desire for God or His gospel. That's the shape of the world. Now God sends another angel. Look at what this angel's job is. Just kind of give us a clue to why. Look at this pronouncement. Verse 8, and there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, is fallen. And notice he mentions fallen twice. Simply means judgment's going to take place. It's coming. It's there. He says, is fallen that great city because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Now, Babylon. Where have we heard that word? Well, over in the book of Genesis, I think it's chapter 10, there's a man and his name is Cush. And he had some sons. And one of those sons was named Nimrod. What a name, Nimrod. And Nimrod, and I've used that name before, you Nimrod. The Bible says that he founded a city called Babel. And at Babel, you'll read in the next chapter, chapter 11, where Nimrod, being over that city, decided he would build a tower to the heaven and worship heavenly bodies and the zodiac and all of that kind of stuff. And by the way, let me just add this in, and I won't charge you for it. The Bible says this, that he was a mighty hunter. And for a long time I thought, wow, he must have been good at hunting deer and hunting rabbit and squirrel and elk. That's not what that meant. He was a mighty hunter of men's souls. You see, his desire was to turn men away from the true worship of God. Understand, that same way of thinking goes on in the world today. In fact, Babylon is a picture of that very thing. It is everything that goes against God and His Word. And it's here today, if it ever was here, it's here now, because everywhere you go, every person you talk to, they don't really care about God. They don't care about His church. All they want to do is live the way they want to live. Now understand, they build this tower. God sends an angel to pronounce judgment. And the Bible tells us that he confounded their language. Now, people left Babel. And by the way, Babel became Babylon. But they left Babel. And with them, went with them to other places, false teaching. And wherever they ended up, they were teaching contrary to God and His Word. Why do you think we have so many false doctrines and teachings out there in the world today? It's the same thing, but it all originated with Babylon. Babel. And it's out there today. I've never seen so much of it in my life. You can't go anywhere without somebody saying, well, this is what the Bible says. Thus saith the Lord. And you say, no, not according to this one. They got their own Bibles to justify their teaching. But their teaching is wrong. And God has sent an angel to declare that, listen to me, Babylon is going to be destroyed. And by the way, Revelation 17, 18, you'll see. You see, in Revelation, it pictures the economic and religious way of those times. But beloved, it's here today. So, the word pictures, well, let's read it for ourselves. It says, because she's made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. It's pictured as a harlot that seduces men with her way. And beloved, that's exactly what the devil does. He seduces you with false teaching and doctrine. And so many people, because they don't know the Word of God, because they're blinded to the truth, guess what? They fall under her trance. They become drunk with her ways. But listen, she's not going to get by with it. God will pour out His wrath, and we're going to see that. Understand. False teaching is out there. Be warned. Ask God for discernment. Know your Bible. If anybody tells you you can be saved any old way you want to, they're lying to you. There's only one way, and that way is through the shed and atoning death of Jesus Christ. Shed blood and atoning death. That's it. Through faith. But yet there's many ways, according to some. Oh, it doesn't matter what you believe or not. It's just if you're sincere or not. There's a lot of people burning in hell today because they sincerely thought they were on the right path. Sincerity will not get you home to heaven. You must be born again. Now, again, angel goes and pronounces judgment. Now, let's look at this judgment for a moment. It says this. Because she's made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And then the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast, his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. Let's talk about the wrath of God. Let's break that verse down. First of all, the word wrath in the Greek means thumos. I probably can't pronounce it. I know what the definition is, but they don't roll off its old hillbilly tongue. But thumos. And it's where the word in our modern language today is derived from, thermonuclear. One day, God's hand of judgment is going to fall. And you know what? Ain't seen nothing like it. Oh, God's God of love. He is. My goodness, He loves us. Listen, our very being here this morning shows us He loves us. Because He gave us another day of life so that we can worship Him with one another. But listen to me, He's also a God of judgment. And one day, His wrath is going to come. And if you'll notice, it says that is without mixture. In other words, it's pure and undiluted. You see, the world and Satan has never seen God come to his boiling point. But I can assure you, judgment's going to fall. And then there's that word indignation. Now, indignation comes also in the New Testament, still means wrath, but it also in the Greek means ogre. I think I said that. And what it means is simply this. There is a boiling point. Let me give you a picture. Hoover Dam. It's what? How many feet below normal are we still? 90, 80, 70, whatever. But picture in your mind, the water keeps rising and rising and rising, and finally comes to the point where the dam itself cannot hold the pressure and the water, and it just bursts. That's what indignation is. What it means. Another example. I've been guilty of this. I'm sure you have too. Anybody ever made you so mad you got red in the face? Just red. Without a question, no one had to ask. Ooh, he's upset. Well, that's a picture of God's indignation. You see, God ain't going to put up with it always. He's long-suffering now. He's patient now. And that's why if you're lost and you're not saved, that's why you need to get saved now. Because one day, you're going to face his judgment. Well, if you got any sense between your ears, give your heart to Jesus. Because you don't want to face him when he's red-faced. Amen. Just those two scriptures alone in Hebrew. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Our God is a consuming fire. Just those two verses right there are to wake you up. You don't want no part of it in his judgment. Now, notice what it says. This third angel appears, and look at what he proclaims. The same shall, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine and wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire, brimstone, in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lord. All right. Of course, everyone there that rejects Jesus, they're lost, and they're going to take the mark. And the Bible says that the angels of God and the Lamb are going to be there to remind them exactly why they ended up in hell. You want a terrible description? I know there are skeptics out there that doesn't believe there's a hell. How could a loving, merciful God send a person to hell? Well, one, God don't send anyone there. They send themselves there because they rejected God's only begotten Son. And two, just as God prepared a place for his saints, he's also prepared a place for those that reject Jesus, his Son, as Savior. Look at verse 11. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Think about that. Smoke ascended up ever and forever. And did you hear? No rest, day or night. You see, hell is a literal place. And when a person dies without Christ and they end up in hell, they will be there forever. No reprieve. No annihilation like some teach today. They go to hell forever. And they'll live there. And they'll look at the host. And they'll look at the Lamb. And they'll always be reminded they didn't have to go there. But they chose. And forever they will be there. Sinner friend, why would you want to go there? When you don't have to. You see, the Bible tells us that Jesus went to the cross and suffered the wrath of God on our behalf. literally the punishment you and I deserve, Jesus suffered and took it upon Himself so that we would be spared. And God poured out His full wrath on His Son so that you and I would never have to worry about this place called home. Why do you mean? Why not come to Jesus now? Life is short. We need to decide now, not tomorrow. Now, we see the difference in those that go to hell. That's anyone that rejects Jesus, anyone that doesn't receive Him as Lord and Savior. But did you read the next couple verses? This is saved folk, those that have trusted Jesus. Even those during the tribulation that will be saved. Here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and faith of Jesus. First of all, the only way you can keep His commandments is to know Him. And the greatest commandment He ever gave us was to take Jesus as our own. I want you to understand, sinner friend, please understand, for us that are saved, especially for those tribulation saints that trust Jesus, we're going to be in heaven with Him. But if you don't understand, Jesus did everything that He needed to do so we could be saved. But if you don't trust Him as your Savior, remember this if you don't remember anything else I've said. According to the Word of God, if you reject Jesus, there remaineth no more sacrifice for your sin. You understand that? No more. Please, best I know how, please, I plead and beg with you. Ask Jesus into your heart. Now, He talks about keep the commandments of God in the faith of Jesus, and that's what it's all about, belief, trust. He made it simple. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God's raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's belief, that's trust, that's faith. And I love this. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Think about it. Blessed or happy are they that die in the Lord. Those of us that know Jesus as our personal Savior, one of these days we're going to come to the end of the path. Our life here on earth is going to be done. But according to the Word of God, if we die in Jesus, we're blessed and we're going to get rest from our name. We're going to be with the Lord around His throne for 20 elders. The church, everybody else that's gone on, our people. And our works do follow. You understand. You're serving the Lord. You're not serving in vain. Your works are going to follow. Whether or not you're here or not, your work will still be. So how do you want to be remembered? I told my kids, I don't want my legacy to just be, well, he was a good man. He loved mom. He loved us kids, and I do. And that's good to be remembered for. But the legacy I want is, hey, he preached the gospel and he loved us. That's the legacy I want. What about you? Now, in close, two types. I know this is during the tribulation. The church is already gone. But you can be saved during the tribulation. But I wouldn't recommend waiting until the tribulation. Because you think we've seen some sights here? Nothing's going to compare when the church is raptured out of here and God starts sending judgments to the earth. By the way, there's bowl judgments and there's trumpet judgments. He ain't playing. You don't want to be here. And I guess what bothers me the most, those that trusted Jesus during the tribulation got saved, and I know this is future events, but those that received the Lord as their personal Savior, do you think that made any difference to those who did want to hear the gospel? Didn't bother them that they were martyred. Didn't bother them that they showed love and faith to the Savior. Didn't bother them at all that their blood was shed. That's why I'm saying this. Sinner friend, right now, the path to salvation and the door of opportunity is wide open. Grace is here for you. But I can assure you one day it's going to be closed. And if you are going left or left behind and go through the tribulation, it's going to be very hard to be saved. And if you do, which I hope you do, just be ready. Because the first thing the Antichrist and his forces are going to do is you. Right? So why not, while you have the opportunity and the doors open up, why not decide for Jesus? My goodness. Make it easy on yourself. Amen? Make it easy on yourself. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. You see, the Lord said, my spirit will not always strive with man. Genesis 6:3. That's a fact. If he's dealing with your heart now, now's the time you come. You feel any inkling, the Holy Spirit, please, don't grieve him. Come, before it's too late. Three angels, three different jobs. Praise God. It's going to come to pass. Isn't it amazing? I shut up. Wouldn't listen to a man, now God has to send an angel. Messenger from God. You would think, wow, this must be important. God sent an angel. It's just like the old rich man in hell, remember? Father Abraham? I've got five brothers. Hey, send Moses over to my house. They'll surely believe. They won't believe Moses and the prophets here. They surely won't. When they were here, they surely won't believe one rose from the dead. Think about that. So today, if you're here, you don't know for sure. You don't feel you're prepared for the end. Time to get prepared. And you begin by accepting Jesus as your Savior.